This is Lawrence Spivak inviting you to Meet the Press.
Meet the Press, winner of every major award in its field, is a public affairs presentation of NBC News.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Senator Robert F. Kennedy of New York, who yesterday declared his candidacy for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States. Our interview with Henry Ford II, originally announced for today, has been postponed. We'll have the first questions now from Sander Van Oker of NBC News.
Senator Kennedy, it was obvious to reporters covering you last fall and to people listening to your speeches that you felt deeply about the course of the war in Vietnam, the crisis in the cities, and the course of leadership that President Johnson was offering to the American people. And yet when various senators, among them Senator McCarthy, came and asked you to run, you refused. Now you're telling the American people that you did so at the time because you did not want it to be a contest of personalities. But are your critics not legitimately entitled to say that perhaps what motivated you now, since you feel only different in degree rather than in kind from last fall, is the fact that Senator McCarthy showed that President Johnson might be beaten, and secondly, that perhaps Nelson Rockefeller is not the Republican opponent you might have if you're the nominee next November?
Well, I think that what Senator McCarthy showed was that there was a deep division and split within the Democratic Party that had, and the country, that had nothing to do with me. I always felt that it was President, as you know, Mr. Van Oker. But I don't think there's any question that if I had gone into the race at an early time, that it would have been felt by the press and by others that this was a personality struggle between President Johnson and myself. Secondly, I think that these issues or these questions are so vital and so important that I feel that I can make a contribution. I'm not asking anybody to give me anything. The convention's not meeting tomorrow. I'm not stepping in at the last moment. There's only when one primary that's over. And I don't think there's any rule or regulation or law in the Constitution or anywhere else that says that only those who enter the New Hampshire primary should run for president. Certainly that has not been our history. I'm going to have a very, very rough road ahead of me. I have 5 months even before the convention comes. I have to go to all of the states. I have to go to the various primaries. I have to present myself and my policies and my programs, not just in opposition to President Johnson, but what I think can be done for this country and for the rest of the world and for mankind, because we are the leader. I have to present that to the rest of the American people. Then they will judge, and the Democratic Party will judge. I don't think I'm asking for a free ride. I don't think I'm asking for an easy road.
But Senator, you suggested yesterday, Senator McCarthy did not respond too kindly to it, to the idea of cooperation. Is this not just substantiating what President Johnson said in his December television interview, that there was an arrangement between you and Senator McCarthy formed last fall? Are you not giving support to these accusations?
Well, there is an arrangement. There wasn't an arrangement made last fall. I think that both of us, I intend to cooperate in every way possible with Senator McCarthy. I think that he did a brilliant job in New Hampshire. I want to help in every way possible in Wisconsin, where he'll be involved in a primary. I will help in Pennsylvania. I will help in Massachusetts any way that he feels that I can be useful. I think that what we are both doing is opposing the policies that are being followed at the moment, opposing the policies that are being followed in Southeast Asia, opposing the policies that are being followed here in the United States. After that, I think that by discussing these issues, by going to the American people, by talking as I will about what I think can be done positively as far as the future is concerned, what can be done in the 1970s, what this country needs to stand for, and the idealism and the feeling of unselfishness which I think exists in our country, that it seems to me that I can make a contribution, and that's what I intend to do.
Thank you, gentlemen. The other reporters on our panel today are David Broder of the Washington Post, Tom Wicker of the New York Times, and Robert Novak of the Chicago Sun-Times. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Broder.
Senator Kennedy, as a political realist, would you agree with the judgment of those who say that the president should be favored for renomination?
Yes.
Despite your expressions of loyalty to the Democratic Party, you refused yesterday to say that you would support him if he were the nominee. Why is that?
Well, I'm loyal to the Democratic Party, but I feel stronger about the United States and mankind generally. And I think that the policies that we're following, particularly in Southeast Asia, could be very well be catastrophic. If we follow the same policies, if we continue as we have in the past, I think there's very great danger that we could lead to the Third World War. And as Mr. Khrushchev said at one time, with an exchange of atomic weapons, the living will envy the dead. I think my first obligation responsibility is in that area.
You said, Senator, that you saw no possibility of the Republicans nominating anyone who would give the kind of change of policy that you think the country needs.
Yes.
What would you do then if President Johnson is renominated and does not change his policies?
I'm going to have to decide at that time.
Mr. Wicker.
Senator, the Indiana primary, in which you have not said that you would enter, comes about roughly a month before the Oregon and California primaries. Now, if you were to enter that, either you or Senator McCarthy, one would finish ahead of the other in that primary. And then presumably one of you would finish ahead of the other in the Oregon primary. Wouldn't you think that if there was a loser in two primaries there, he probably would have to drop out before California?
I just don't know that, Mr. Wicker. I would, as I say, first, I want to cooperate in every way that I can with Senator McCarthy because of what he's done already, and I intend to do that and continue to do that. I think what both of us, whether we're in Indiana or Oregon, both of us together will do better than one of us as individuals. Both of us, I think, talking about the issues and talking about the questions in opposition to what we are doing at the present moment, I would hope would indicate strong opposition within the Democratic Party and amongst the American people to continuing the policies that we're following at the moment.
Well, that's
and I think that's terribly important. I think another part of it, of course, as I say, is what we're going to do as far as the future is concerned.
Well, that may be true as far as Indiana and Oregon are concerned, because those are small blocks of delegates, and the public votes that you and Senator McCarthy got together would more or less count as a block. But in California, that's a very large block of delegates, and it would be very important in terms of stopping a first ballot nomination of President Johnson. Now, isn't it important both to you and to Senator McCarthy that somebody comes out of California with that block of delegates rather than with a
psychological
impact?
That's several months ahead, and a lot can happen in the American political scene and in the world scene between now and then. I think I would hope that as we go along that will be worked out and developed. But as I say, I think that it's important at that time that there is a strong opposition figure to President Johnson and what we are doing, the policies that we're following at the moment. I think that the primary in California can contribute to that. But let me just point out, which I think has to be understood, is that even if one person won all of the primaries, that's not going to be enough to stop President Johnson. I mean, that's not going to win the nomination. What has to be established in the delegates' minds and the people's minds is that the policies that we're following at the moment, we don't necessarily have to follow, and that President Johnson, if he follows those policies and continues those policies, which I think, as I say, are catastrophic, that he's going to win, that he's going to lose the election. And I think that these primaries will help to establish that. I don't think it's the number of delegates you get any more than it was the number of delegates that Senator McCarthy won in New Hampshire that made the difference. It was the fact that he got such a substantial vote.
Mr. Novak.
Senator, when you say a lot can happen before the California primary, what do you mean? Do you mean that Senator McCarthy will be out of the picture by then?
No, if you just look over the period of the last 2.5 months, how much has happened? It's the Tet Offensive. There have been many developments, the gold crisis, and many developments in the world.
Well, are you hoping that he will be out of the California primary by the time it comes around?
No. I would hope that we are going to be working in tandem and that we will make a common effort.
Well, a lot of people don't understand what you're saying today and what you said yesterday as to how you can work together when you're both getting your votes from the same people, the people who are opposed to President Johnson and the war.
Well, one is a question of opposition to what we are doing at the moment. I think together we establish the opposition to the present policy. And as I said, I think one of us can do that. Two of us can do that better than one of us.
But I think that is
important. Secondly, that's only part of it. I think that Senator McCarthy has certain strengths, and perhaps I have certain strengths. I have great feelings about what we should be doing in the future. I would like to present those to the American people. I would like to have them considered by the American people. I have strong feelings about what the United States should be doing here in our cities, in our rural areas, what we need to be doing in our relationship with other countries abroad. I would like to present that as a positive program, as I have for the last several years, and have the American people pass on. Let me just add one thing. I don't think anybody loses by it, by having me to go to discuss the issues, by the fact that I go into all of these states, that I answer questions, that I present my views, and that I give ideas about what needs to be done and the courses that need to be followed by this country. I don't think that the American people lose, and in my judgment, the Democratic Party doesn't lose.
Well, I understand
that. And as I say, I'm willing to do that. I'm not coming in just before the convention and saying you should nominate me for President of the United States because I was involved in government before. I'm saying it on the basis of what I think that I can offer.
Well, I understand that, Senator, but you're a very practical politician, and I still don't see the arithmetic on how the anti-Johnson forces are not divided by you in states such as Oregon and California, apart from what you've just said.
But you would also not be able to see the arithmetic of one person going in all the primaries and being able to win. There's no arithmetic in that, because you could win all of the primaries. Senator McCarthy could remain in this race, even if he won the primaries. He could still not win.
But that's another question.
As I answered to Mr. Broder, it's not just a question of arithmetic. Secondly, I don't think that's the only issue. I think it's the question is about the future of the United States and the conditions that exist in the United States at the present time, which I think are unsatisfactory and which I think I can make some contribution to changing.
Senator, along that line, may I ask you a question? Every candidate who seeks high office promises solutions for all of our problems during the campaign. Do you have any concrete proposals to solve any one of our big problems? Let's take one of them, to end the war, for example. What concrete proposals?
I don't think anybody solves a problem. Spivak, I don't think anybody solves a problem. We make progress toward trying to find a solution. We're not going to solve the problems of the cities. We're not going to solve the problems about Vietnam. We're not going to solve the problems of Southeast Asia. But we can do better than we are doing at the moment, and we can move toward solutions. And I think that at the moment, the complete reliance on military power in Southeast Asia is a major mistake. I think that we can do better in Southeast Asia. I can think we can cut down on the killing. I think that we can ensure that there's a broader political base in Vietnam than there is at the moment. I think that we don't have to kill as many civilians as are being killed at the moment. I don't think as many Americans have to be killed in the search and destroy mission that are being conducted. I think that when it's described in Southeast Asia as a war of attrition, I think that's an error and that's a mistake.
Well, I think
we have to make it clear that we're willing to negotiate with the National Liberation Front, and the National Liberation Front and the Viet Cong are going to play some role in the political process of South Vietnam in the future, and that we're willing to negotiate and not just concentrate on a military solution. In my judgment, following those principles is much more likely to lead to a solution than following what we have at the moment, which I think is disastrous and which is demonstrated to have been disastrous.
But a president has to make a decision on a specific thing. Now, at the present time, it's reported that General Westmoreland wants about 200,000 more troops.
206,000. That's what I think is a continuation of what we've
been
doing in the
past. Now, would you stop, if you were president today, would you send no troops at all? What would you do?
I would not send the 206,000 troops, and I would begin the de-escalation of the effort.
Would you send the 35,000 that the president proposes to send?
Well, certainly he has not sent...
Or been reported that he proposed.
Well, he hasn't sent up a message about the 35,000 and what they're going to be utilized for. If the 35,000 is just to continue the process that we're following at the moment, I think that it would be a mistake. I think, for instance, if the effort at Quezon, the effort at the demilitarized zone is so important and so significant, I would like to see the South Vietnamese up there. I would like to see the South Vietnamese draft their 18-year-olds and draft their 19-year-olds and have them conduct the fighting. I don't appreciate what was said in the General Assembly of South Vietnam, that we're not going to draft our young men to fight America's war for them. I don't think that's satisfactory. I would have liked to have seen South Vietnamese recapture Hue, and not just Americans, or not Americans have to participate in that kind of an effort which destroyed that city, and out of 140,000 people made 115,000 refugees. I don't think that makes any sense. Every time we do that, or like at Ben Tre, where the American commander, and I don't blame him, But he said in a city of 38,000, we had to destroy the city in order to save it. I don't think that we're making people who want to, the people of South Vietnam want to associate with us rather than with the Viet Cong or with the National Liberation Front. I think that this policy
Mr. Van Oker.
Senator, supposing in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, we concede the argument to you that perhaps both you and Senator McCarthy running presents a stronger opposition to President Johnson than one of you.
Thank you.
Supposing we concede that. Still, it raises the question of ego. All politicians have great egos, other they wouldn't be running for the presidency of the United States. You obviously think you're the best man qualified to run the country. You said so yesterday about who should be the strongest standard bearer. Senator McCarthy said yesterday he thinks he's as qualified as President Kennedy was when he ran in 1960. Now, given that, plus the fact, and it's an open secret, that you and Senator McCarthy are not on the closest of personal terms, when you sit down, if you get to that point, to say who's going to go, aren't you carving up not principle but ego, and how are you going to do this?
I've said what I feel about it. I've said what I think needs to be done. I'm willing and anxious to cooperate with him because I think that that's so important and so significant. I intend to do that. At the same time, as I say, I intend to talk about what I feel needs to be done for this country to heal the deep divisions that exist between races, between age groups, and on the war in Southeast Asia. I think that we're more divided now than perhaps we've been in 100 years.
Mr. Broder.
Senator, one more try on a specific. You have said repeatedly yesterday and today that you would cooperate in every possible way with Senator McCarthy. If he runs ahead of you in Nebraska and Oregon, will your cooperation contemplate standing aside for him in the California primary?
I think we can work that out.
You do not rule it out, then?
Well, I don't anticipate that, but could I just say that I think I've made it clear how I feel about it, and I think that we'll see how it develops, but I think there are a great many more issues in this world and in this country at the moment than just the personal relationship that exists. I've said it quite clear how I feel about him, but I think
do
that at the same time we have
these
problems of the cities and Southeast Asia and all of these other matters, which I'm willing to discuss and which I'm willing to
you
answer.
You do or do not rule out the possibility of standing aside for him in California?
I'm not making any plans other than what I said yesterday, which is to run to win.
Mr.
Which
Wicker.
Which is the view of every candidate.
In running to win, what kind of national organization are you planning? Are you planning, for instance, state organizations in all 50 states? You said a moment ago that you expected to visit all states. Do you mean during the primary campaign?
Well, let me say that I don't know that it's practical to visit. I remember Richard Nixon said that in 1960 that he was going to all states, and so I don't want to say that. I'm going to do as much as I can. I'm going to go around. I also have responsibilities here in the Senate of the United States, but I'm going to do as much as I can to go around the country.
Who will be your national campaign manager?
Well, I know that Steve Smith will play an important role as my Senator Edward Kennedy, Ted Sorensen, and Kenny O'Donnell, but I don't know what particular titles they might have.
Since California is going to be so important in this primary, will Speaker Unruh be your manager in California?
I don't know what role he intends to play, but it be obviously...
Well, would you like to have him be your manager in California?
I would like to have him be able to pull the campaign together.
Mr. Novak.
Senator Kennedy, quite apart from your own candidacy, which you said if you had gotten in earlier would have created a personality clash with the president, if you feel this deeply about the issues, why didn't you support Senator McCarthy in the New Hampshire primary? That wouldn't have been a Kennedy versus Johnson fight.
Well, again, because I think that at that juncture, whether I was in it myself or whether I was in it under those circumstances would have brought about the same divisions based on either personality or the division within the Democratic Party that was apart from the issues. I remember President Johnson's statement in December, just before Christmas, that this was a conspiracy on the part of Senator McCarthy and me, again, having nothing to do with the issues. Mr. Van Oker spoke earlier about the fact that it was charged at that time that this was a conspiracy on the part of the two of us and that he was just in there as a front for me. And I don't think that, therefore, we would have made a contribution on the issues by my taking that step.
Were you surprised by Senator McCarthy's response to your offer of help on yesterday when he suggested you were dancing by the light of the moon and throwing messages over the wall in New Hampshire?
Well, all I can say is how I feel about it. And, of course, Senator McCarthy has to speak for himself. I'd like to cooperate with him. I'd like to work with him because I think the issues and the questions for the future of this country are so important.
If he's taken up your effort to go into Wisconsin at all, your offer to go into Wisconsin, has he replied to it?
I haven't heard from him, but I'd be glad to go into Wisconsin and help in any way that he feels it would be useful.
Senator, our youth is deeply concerned about the draft. Would you, if you were president today, end the draft?
No, I would not.
What would you do about deferring students?
I would eliminate as much as possible deferments. I would be opposed to student deferment. I know that's not a popular position, but it's a position that I've held for 2 years, and I've gone around to the campuses and said that I feel that. I think that a lottery system in which everybody's treated equally is the system that should be followed. The fact is, at the present time, the poor are carrying the burden of the struggle. The Negro, 20% of the casualties in South Vietnam are Negro, although 10% of the population is white. The Indian, when I was on some of the reservations, I talked to one family, had three sons who were in Vietnam, and one had been killed and another had just been drafted. The Mexican Americans, the Puerto Ricans, and I think that the burden of the struggle must be carried equally, and that with it as difficult as it is, that we should have a lottery system in which everybody takes their chance.
We have less than 3 minutes, Mr. Van Oker.
Senator Kennedy, both you and Senator McCarthy have claimed you're concerned about the future of the Democratic Party. I ask this not facetiously, but do you know what the Democratic Party is? President Johnson has been accused of not knowing what it is. It's not what it was in 32. It's not what it was when President Kennedy ran. Do you know what it is today and whether it's worth saving?
Yes, I think it's what Emerson said it was. It's the party of hope. It's a party of what we can do in the future. It's a party that meets problems, talks about problems, faces it, has debates, and then decides what's the best course for this country. If you're talking about the organization, in some areas the Democratic Party is strongly organized. In some areas of the United States, it's very weak. But I think that if we have an ideal, I think that if we have a central thought about around which we can rally, then it seems to me that there can be a greater unity within the Democratic Party, and that we can accomplish something. The Democratic Party is the oldest political party in the world today. I think it stands for something.
Mr. Broder.
Senator, President Johnson yesterday called for austerity to meet the gold crisis. There are reports that he will seek an $8 or $9 billion cut in the budget and, of course, the tax hike. Will you support or oppose that program?
I think it will depend on where he suggested. I don't think there's any question that we need austerity. I voted for a number of cuts last year, and I will continue to vote for cuts.
Mr. Wicker?
Since you've made it plain here that you think the issues are more important than personalities involved, now, suppose, and it surely is not beyond the realm of possibility, that a Republican candidate would make something along the lines the proposals on the war that you've made, peace proposals along the lines you've made, would you not then have to support him?
You mean after the convention?
After the convention.
I said I'd decide at the convention what I shall do. If we're going to follow the same policies that we're following at the moment, President Johnson wins the nomination, then I would have grave reservations.
Mr. Novak.
Senator, at that point, is a third-party movement led by you one of the possible options?
No, it is not.
I do not
intend to start a third party, although I have a great admiration for Theodore Roosevelt. I'm not going to start
Mr.
a third
Van party. Mr. Van Oker.
Senator, if the party...
Short.
I pass.
Have you decided about the Indiana primary, Senator?
I have not.
Mr. Wicker?
If you go into the Indiana primary and lose, will you then pull out?
I've answered that question.
Mr. Novak?
James Rowe, the president's political advisor, says that this fight is going to destroy the Democratic Party for a generation. Do you think that is possible?
No. I think it will strengthen it, and I think that what has been demonstrated is that the Democratic Party is divided, but it's been divided by President Johnson and his policies, not by anything that we can do. We can strengthen it, it seems to me, by bringing out the divisions into the open and calling for alternatives. That's what I intend to do.
I'm sorry to interrupt, gentlemen, but our time is up. Thank you, Senator Kennedy, for being with us today on Meet the Press. We'll be back with you in just a minute after this message.
For a printed copy of today's interview, send 10 cents in coin and a stamp, self-addressed envelope, to Merkle Press, Box 2111, Washington, D.C., 20013.
Next week on Meet the Press, our guest will be another headline figure in the news. Now this is Lawrence Bivack saying goodbye for Senator Robert F. Kennedy and Meet the Press.